Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
For the first time in heavyweight championship history, we have two undefeated fighters in there.
Jimmy Connors and Bjorn Borg.
Borg has broken serve once again and leads 4-2 in the final set.
The Steelers versus the Raiders.
The kick is good. And Pittsburgh leads 3-0.
The 1970s saw some ferocious rivalries, but I know what I'd pick as the fiercest of them all.
Oh, Fred, please help us. My church is raising money for our youth program. We want to buy a wing.
Well, let them have one of yours, Bat.
Watch it, sucker.
The show was Sanford and Son. And when junkyard dealer Fred Sanford, played by Red Fox, and Aunt Esther, his Bible-toting sister-in-law, began trash-talking, it got ugly and hilarious.
Listen, Esther, if we were alone on a raft in the middle of the ocean, I'd rather kiss an octopus in the mouth.
I wouldn't want you to kiss me. I'd rather be kissed by a snaggletooth jackass.
The character of Aunt Esther joined the series at the end of season 2, and for many in the audience, the actress playing her, LaWanda Page, was a new face, an overnight sensation. But both Red Fox and LaWanda Page were veteran comics with big followings.
We bring to the floor the young lady that recorded the record that was so dirty, so rough.
Built in black nightclubs and through adults-only party records.
This record was so rough that you wouldn't even let your own mother-in-law listen to it.
And let's just say Aunt Esther probably would not have approved of this material.
You know what Eve said to Adam in the Garden of Eden one day? She looked at all this dick in his hand. She said, "You got the whole world in your hand. You got the whole world in your hand."
Saying things that weren't said would be even more shocking coming from a woman. LaWanda Page wasn't seen as a woman comic. You know, she was a star. She was funny.
In her 50s, she became one of the most popular people on TV.
I've come a long ways. If it hadn't have been for Red, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in now. I wouldn't have a maid. I wouldn't have a chauffeur. I wouldn't have a gardener, because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
I'd probably still be working in them nightclubs.
A celebrity roasting other celebrities.
Now let's see, which one is Betty White? Get a bunch of you albinos on one desk and you all look alike.
She was funny as hell. And black women, they will tear you up. They will tear you up. They will tell you about yourself.
But I had one consolation. I finally got that sucker to go to church with me. And child, it was a beautiful funeral.
But if LaWanda Page's life is a book, mainstream America only knows the last chapter.
If you went to clubs, you would know who she was. And let's just call it what it was. If you weren't black, you didn't know who she was.
I can attest. I can attest.
From CBS Sunday Morning and iHeart, I'm Mo Rocca, and this is Mobituaries. This Mobit, LaWanda Page.
Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, the queen of comedy, LaWanda.
September 14th, 2002. Death of a comedy queen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I noticed on the platform formerly known as Twitter a picture of this beautiful woman in a swimsuit, and somebody said, does anybody know who this is? And I scrolled down because I thought she looked familiar, and somebody said, it's Ann Esther from Sanford and Son. I went, holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. No, that, listen, LaWanda Page is stunningly beautiful. And what ends up happening often, particularly with women of color, no one knows anything about us because we weren't really part of the regular world, because unless you knew about black performers, you didn't know about a lot of folks.
I'm talking with comedian and actress and EGOT winner Whoopi Goldberg. And it's true, LaWanda Page had a long and surprising career in showbiz before Sanford and Son that white audiences knew little about.
We're a lot better now about it, but in the 50s, unless you were in the know, you were not hanging out in the clubs where LaWanda was. People didn't know. You know, she's like Black Fire or something. It's just, you know, and she was hot.
Once upon a time, there was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work.
That's LaWanda Page in the intro to RuPaul's 1993 seminal dance hit, Supermodel. Turns out RuPaul is a LaWanda Page superfan. Now, LaWanda was not born in the Brewster Projects of Detroit. In fact, she wasn't even born LaWanda Page. Her name was Alberta Richmond when she came into the world in Cleveland, Ohio in 1920. As a kid, during the Great Depression, she'd dance on street corners for spare change. I would dream about being in show business, LaWanda would later tell the black entertainment magazine Roots. Like I was Cinderella in a storybook, I thought I'd reach it through dancing. When her family moved to St. Louis, LaWanda went to Banneker Elementary School, where she became friends with her future co-star, Red Fox. He was two grades below her. LaWanda grew up fast. Pregnant and married at 14, her son died in infancy. At 16, she had a daughter. By 19, LaWanda was widowed. By then, she was already working the clubs. As she later told one reporter, she made $36 a week as a shake dancer. The shaking part had to do with the fringe she wore. "I shook the fringe," she said. "My, did I shake that fringe." By this time, she'd taken the name LaWanda, perhaps to keep her religious mother from finding out what she was doing. When the club owner decided that LaWanda needed to shake up her act, she had a flash, so to speak. "I was sitting in the dressing room, and my lighter fluid spilled on my hand," she recalled. When she proceeded to light a cigarette, her hand caught fire. So did her imagination. LaWanda was going to do a fire act. At a club in East St. Louis called The Blue Flame, yes, The Blue Flame, a drag queen named Taboo showed her the ropes. "It's in the breathing," LaWanda remembered being taught. "When you put the torch in your mouth, breathe out. If you don't, you're done, like a roast. And always keep moving. As long as you keep moving, the flames don't burn you. That's how I became the bronze goddess of fire." swallowing flames, walking on hot coals. She even brought a snake into her act. It was perilous work. She burned herself and nearly burned down a few clubs. But the act was good enough to take on the road.
There's this quote from a drummer who worked with her at the New Delhi Cabaret in Vancouver.
Yes.
She'd light her finger and go around lighting guys cigarettes in the club. Then the lights would go off and she'd light up the tassels on her pasties and spin them like propellers in opposite directions.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
You gotta have a gimmick.
We love Gypsy.
You gotta have a gimmick.
Now, LaWanda never wrote a memoir, but in her later stand-up work, she talked about her early days. Here she is from her 1979 album, Sane Advice, talking about the first time she saw a certain pioneering black star of the silver screen.
All the pretty women in the movies and magazines were white. And when a pretty girl came on the screen, the white men, they were allowed to clap and whistle. But the black fools sat tight and kept quiet. Had to, honey. They had to do it. Then came 1943. 1943, baby, I remember the day. The movie was Cabin in the Sky. And the pretty woman was Lena Horne. And honey, when Lena came on the screen, all them black suckers, honey, they screamed, they whistled, honey, they tore up the chairs, they busted the popcorn machine. Oh, honey, they tore down the Roxy Theater in St. Louis. They say, we don't want to sit down, we want to get down. And I don't blame them, honey, because Lena was bright, light, and damn near white. Honey, she was a black beauty. And right then, I made up my mind I was going into show business. I went straight downtown and got me a job dancing. Yes, I did.
Born in Cleveland, growing up in St. Louis, and she wants to be a star. She wanted to be a Hollywood star. Can you just even relate or imagine, like, what that burning desire is? Or
yeah. Because you're watching these movies and it doesn't occur to you that that's not going to be you. It doesn't occur to you. Because, I mean, I loved all those movies that they made in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. I had no idea. You know, I'm thinking of The Letter in particular,
Betty Davis,
where she comes down the stairs and bang, 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 and she's shooting the guy.
Leslie, what is it?
With all my heart, I still love the man I killed.
And I'm thinking, that's what I want to do. And no one ever said, no, bitch, you're never going to be Betty Davis. My mother said, yes, of course. Sure. Just don't shoot anybody. But you could do that.
Oh, God bless your mother. But that's such an interesting point, because that's what dreaming is, right? A suspension of disbelief, right?
Yes. And so I'm sure it never occurred to LaWanda that she wasn't going to be one of those women. Never occurred to her. And never occurred to me either till someone said, oh, you know you're black, don't you? It's like, yeah, of course I know. What does that have to do with this, with wanting to be the star? And what my mother would say is, it has nothing to do with it. They might not understand everything, but they'll get it. Somebody will get it if you're good enough.
Of course, LaWanda's path was limited by legalized segregation. She worked at the informal network of black nightclubs and theaters known as the Chitlin' Circuit. Here she is again from Sane Advice.
Honey, I was one happy and excited girl, but I had no idea what was ahead of me. It was August, child, and hot, 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 hot. Honey, 40 people, bags, costumes, all of us riding and living in the same bus. Honey, before we got out of St. Louis, my 6-day deodorant pad had died. Child, traveling on a show bus is like no trip you ever took before. Baby, if you hear a loud noise in the back, it's the luggage trying to get out. And child, I opened my window, and the fumes from that bus killed a whole crop of wheat in Kansas.
You know, visually in my mind, I could see her on the bus with, you know, 9,000 people, all performers, playing cards, smoking cigarettes, just because they could only stop at specific places and they could only stay in specific places. That's of a time. That's of a time.
You, of course, know what this is like. It's not easy to get up there and hold an audience like that and not rush it.
Yeah. Well, you know, she is breathing. Do you know what I mean? She's up there and she's breathing. She's like, and then this happened. Can you believe it? Oh, wait a minute. And then this happened. It's a style of patter that you don't hear often, but you hear with Black comics, particularly female Black comics. You have a little bit of the South, and you're just telling what happened.
And I love that you said just breathing, because that's a big deal. Because people who don't know what they're doing, they're not breathing. Yeah. They're just going right now, through. They're nervous.
She's in no rush. She's telling a story. The stage is hers. This is who she is, and it's kind of fabulous.
But LaWanda hadn't even tried stand-up comedy until the mid-1950s, when she was in her mid-30s and had settled in South Los Angeles. She was still the bronze goddess of fire, dancing at a club called the Brass Rail, when some of her fellow performers noticed how funny she was. As she later told Jet Magazine, "When I got too old to dance, I turned to comedy." She started working with comedic duo Skillet and Leroy.
Laugh Records presents the very fabulous Leroy, Skillet, and LaWanda!
Many of LaWanda's bits were drawn from her own life. She'd been widowed 3 times before she even started doing comedy.
I should have known it never worked out for old John and me, honey, because it was written in the stars. I was a Virgo, and that sucker was a wino. Honey, he couldn't keep no kind of job. That's the only man I know that ever went to the unemployment office and lost his place in line.
LaWanda would work Black comedy clubs for the next 2 decades. Her humor was as fiery as her dancing had been. Coming up after the break, LaWanda Page, Red Fox, and the age of the party record.
Well, now, some of those albums, especially LaWanda's earlier ones, they're really blue. And I don't think I'm a shrinking violet, but they're blue even for today.
They are dirty as hell. Yes, yes.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Our next guest is dubbed the King of the Party Records. Basically, that means they're intended for laughs in the living room. He's made 34 albums, and they have sold in the millions. He's kind of a stranger to television and a stranger to me, frankly, but I'm very anxious to meet him. He's got an enormous cult of admirers. Here is Red Fox.
In 1966, talk show host Merv Griffin welcomed comedian Red Fox.
What are party records?
You play them at a party. You ever been to a party? Put the records on when it's kind of dull and then wait.
Yeah? Are they...
The party starts.
Naughty?
Yes.
Yeah.
In this act, we're going to talk about party records and the role they played not just in LaWanda Page's career, but in the careers of many major black comics. Now, these records were not for kids, as Red Fox all but said in that clip we just heard. In fact, many of the albums came wrapped in brown paper.
It's so funny now to look back, because we're not talking that long ago, but America's always had this kind of false morality, like, oh, we don't do that. You know, it's like porn. It's like, oh, there's a $50 billion business that no one buys. <You know? laughs> That's what these records were.
I'm talking to my friend, comedian Alonzo Bowden.
I got a new iPhone. Cost somewhere between $1,200 and $15,000. I don't know how much it cost because Siri bought it.
Alonzo broke through after winning NBC's Last Comic Standing. I've had the great pleasure of being a panelist on NPR's comedy quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, with Alonzo for over a decade. Alonzo has faint but fond memories of the party record era.
Everybody knew about them and people loved them. And it was really the only way you heard these comics, right? We didn't have the internet. Someone got the record. They told you about the record. You told someone else about the record.
As the name would suggest, these records became big at parties.
My father had a bar in the basement, and this is how they socialized. You know, they had bars in the house or pool table or something like that, and they put the kids to bed, and this is part of what came out at that later night party.
Okay, I need you now, of course, to set the scene. This is the Alonzo Bowden biopic. You're a kid. I mean, set the scene. Your dad's bar is downstairs. What's going on?
So my dad's bar is downstairs. He has friends over. They might be a couple from the neighborhood and then some probably from work. We had to go to bed. Of course, the funny thing about me and my brother's room, it was also in the basement. So we weren't too far away. You could hear the laughter. You could hear the glasses tinkling. You know, you know, it was a party.
No, really. I told him, I said, you ought to be careful at nighttime and pull your shades down. I said, because last night I saw you and your wife making love. He said, you kidding me? I wasn't even home.
How important is Red Fox to this whole party record scene?
He was the man. He was probably the biggest star in that genre. Red Fox's stand-up was almost all on these party records.
The party started in 1955 when Los Angeles doo-wop producer Dootsie Williams visited the Oasis nightclub and saw Red Fox's set. Williams ran a tiny label called Duto Records, known for recording Earth Angel by the Penguins.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel, will you be mine?
But the label had recently started releasing novelty records. About Red Fox, Williams said he was so outrageous in such a way that nobody would ever think of putting him on a record. But I thought, this guy can sell. There was no doubt that Fox was funny. In his late teens, he had worked in a New York City restaurant alongside a future civil rights leader. Years later, in his autobiography, Malcolm X would refer to Fox as Chicago Red, the funniest dishwasher on earth. Red Fox would go on to become one of the first black comedians to headline Vegas. He would open his own L.A. nightclub. But back in 55, Red was skeptical about this whole party record idea. He later recalled, "It was a black thing in a sense, so I said I'd go ahead and record for my black brother, because nobody else had offered me anything." For the first album, Dootsie Williams sat in the club with a tape recorder and recorded Red's raunchy act. In 1956, Laugh of the Party Volume 1 came out.
The Good Housekeeping Bureau has just released some vital statistics, very important to all smokers. Do you know that out of 446 doctors that switched to Camels, only two of them went back to women?
The lo-fi recording was a big fat hit. Fox was the first stand-up comedian, black or white, to release an album. And according to comedy historian Cliff Nesteroff, after Fox, it became abnormal if a comic didn't put out records. Bob Newhart, Mort Saul, Jonathan Winters, they all came after Red Fox. Over the next 6 years, Dudo released approximately 25 Red Fox party records. In just the first 2 years, they sold more than 1 million units.
They did a record with Red Fox, and they sold a ton of records. And they said, wait a minute, we're on to something. Who else you got? You know, and then they started recording these other comedians.
Black comedians like George Kirby, Sloppy Daniels, even a ventriloquist and dummy act known as Richard and Willie.
Hugging, yeah, squeezing, yeah, kissing, sex all kind of ways, yeah. Good God, I'm like, who all's gonna be there? Just you and me.
And then, in the late 1960s, Laugh Records entered and soon dominated the party record scene. One of the biggest names in comedy ever would find his voice on the new label.
A lot of people don't know this, that Pryor initially was a clean comic, and he was following in Cosby's footsteps.
Yes, prior to the 1970s, Richard Pryor was G-rated. Here he is on the Merv Griffin Show in 1966.
People worry about everything, about offending with the breath. You worry about it, right? You can tell when somebody's worried about it because they talk through their fingers.
But then Pryor had a kind of awakening.
And he basically had a breakdown. He basically kind of snapped. And he came out talking and cussing and being who he really was. And the audience immediately grasped it. The audience immediately loved the honesty and how raw he was and who he really was. And from there, you know, he never looked back and he became Richard Pryor.
It was on 1971's Craps, a blockbuster for Pryor and for Laugh Records, that audiences heard the real, raw Richard Pryor.
I started snorting cocaine. I had to quit that too, because I wake up in the middle of the night and say to my wife, you f***ing the paper boy?
Is it fair to say then that his party record phase helped Richard Pryor become Richard Pryor?
Well, yeah, because where else were you going to hear it? The only place you were going to hear Richard Pryor was on the records. But the records became so insanely popular through word of mouth, 100% word of mouth. There were no TV commercials for Richard Pryor records, you know.
Now, it wasn't just the content that was raw. It was also the sound quality.
And some of these albums, the sound quality is not great. Is that fair?
Yeah, its sound quality was horrible.
But I'm wondering if that added to the experience of listening at home when you've got friends over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a raw element to it. Also, it's the inside stuff, right? These records weren't Red Fox in Las Vegas. You know what I mean? And these were LaWanda Page before she was famous, when she was just in the club. So the feel of being an insider definitely added to it.
LaWanda Page recorded 5 solo albums with Laugh Records. The material is funny, and especially on those early records, downright filthy. We'd have to bleep so much of it for this podcast. We can't do it justice. Let me put it this way. Fans of the late Bob Saget know how different his stand-up material was from the character he played on Full House. Well, the LaWanda you hear on her 1977 album Watch It, Sucker is so blue, it would turn Aunt Esther every shade of red. Do not miss her bit about the nurse and the woman in the mental ward who demands a certain remedy. My goodness. Here's one bit from her first album, 1971's Mother Is Half a Word, where a ne'er-do-well husband has tried to cover up his drinking by eating sardines. And you can guess where this is headed.
So she says, you been drinking? No, babe, I swear to damn, I ain't been drinking tonight. Blow your breath through the keyhole. blows the breath through the keyhole. First thing she smells, them sardines. She say, you no good, nasty mother. She said, as soon as I break you in one habit, you go and pick up another one.
Sidebar, Laugh Records didn't only produce black comedy acts. In 1978, a young Alison Arngrim, best known as Nellie on Little House on the Prairie, impersonated first daughter Amy Carter on a Laugh Records album.
Dad, where did I come from?
Plains, Georgia, honey. You know that.
No, Daddy. I mean, where do babies come from? I asked Uncle Billy, and he said babies come 9 months after you've had too much beer.
Alison Arngrim's mother, voice actress Norma McMillan, had played Caroline Kennedy on the hit First Family comedy album back in 1962. That's the album that starred Von Meter as JFK. Check out the Von Meter obituary for more on his story. One of Laugh's last records was a song full of fish puns called Wet Dream by white comedian Kip Adada.
I walked over to a place called the Oyster Bar.
A real dive.
But I knew the owner. He used to play for the Dolphins. I said, hi, Gil. You have to yell, he's hard of hearing.
But the label will always be best known for releasing black and blue material. Any thought on the legacy of these party records?
I think the legacy of these party records now is, I would say, more YouTube than Netflix. Because it's more the self-produce, it's the clips from the comedy club versus the polished production show. And we've seen comics get famous. We've seen it happen where people go viral on YouTube or some other platform and become famous. I think that's the legacy of the party record.
Coming up next, the king and queen of underground party records land squarely in the mainstream.
Goodbye, dear.
Oh, you call me dear.
Why did you not call you dear? You look like Bambi's father.
You old weasel-eyed heathen.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now. Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
In the early 1970s, LaWanda Page was caring for her ailing mother in South Los Angeles when she got an offer that would take her career to a whole new level. NBC's Sanford and Son was the first network TV show with a predominantly black cast since Amos and Andy in the early 1950s. In its second season, the show was already a hit, starring Red Fox as junk dealer and widower Fred Sanford. In real life, Red Fox's father's name was actually Fred Sanford. LaWanda was being called in to read for the role of Fred's holier-than-thou sister-in-law, Aunt Esther. Here's LaWanda herself explaining what happened to interviewer Bobby Wygant.
Well, what actually happened, I was working in a nightclub in Los Angeles with the comedy team Skillet and McRoy that we've been together for 20 years. And Aaron Rubin, the producer, he happened to be in the club that night.
The producer was impressed by LaWanda and unaware of her shared history with Fox.
So he goes back and he tells Red, he says, that girl that, I saw with Skillet and Leroy, he says, I think she'll be the girl for Aunt Esther. So Red said, oh, that's LaWanda. I know LaWanda. Well, I've known Red all my life because we went to school together.
Red Fox wasn't just bringing the comedy he'd honed on the Chitlin circuit to network television. He brought many of his fellow comics along with him, too. Aaron Rubin, the Sanford and Son producer who'd seen LaWanda in the club, said, quote, Fox comes up with names like Tangerine Sublet and Leroy and Skillet, consummate performers he worked with in the $25 a week nightclub days. The names befuddle the NBC casting department, where they are totally unknown.
Yeah, yeah. That is somebody who understands that if he doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. I'm sure Red said, I need this character. I know exactly who can do it.
This is Whoopi Goldberg again.
Because he knew no one was going to call her unless he did. And that's kind of how it's always been. You call the folks you know, and if somebody's having a hard time, you do the best to sort of bring them along.
TV was a change of pace for LaWanda Page, who was 52 when she showed up on set. She was nervous the first week on the job, as she later told Sally Jesse Raphael.
See, I had never read a script before. That's my first time. And I was reading the directions along with the lines. Yeah, that's right. You know, for instance, I say, watch it, sucker, and she walked out the door.
The producers were planning to fire and replace LaWanda, but Red intervened. He reportedly said, if she goes, I go.
Well, because he knew what she could do.
Yeah.
And it was meaningful if he said he was going to leave, because he would leave.
About LaWanda Page, Red Fox reportedly said, you never heard of the lady, but the night that first show goes on the air, there will be dancing in the streets of every ghetto in the United States.
Down out again, Humphrey. You were a deadbeat the day my sister married you. And you still a deadbeat today.
Listen, Esther, now you know good and well the day I married your sister, I was loaded.
Yeah, you was loaded all right. You were so drunk you fell on the preacher.
The sanctimonious Aunt Esther quickly became a fan favorite. At the height of her fame on Sanford and Son, though, LaWanda Page was still living in South L.A. The money is nice, she told reporters. It goes to Mama.
And I'm going to take care of Mama. And I don't care what happens, I'm taking care of Mama. And God just fixed it so he just opened the door for me for Sanford and Son. You know, I just walk right in, Red put my feet in the door, so it's up to me to keep it there.
In 1976, LaWanda's mother died. The next year, the Sanford and Son series ended with the departure of Red Fox. But by then, LaWanda Page was a regular face on TV.
A lovely lady, wonderful and warm person, Miss LaWanda Page.
I loved her on the Dean Martin Celebrity Roasts. These roasts were like the variety pack of entertainment. Comedians like Don Rickles, Ruth Buzzi, and Nipsey Russell sharing a dais with Frank Sinatra, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Senator Barry Goldwater. Here is LaWanda roasting Red Fox.
He's been after me since I was a kid back in St. Louis. Honey, he was there the night I won a beauty contest. Remember that, Red? They gave me a silver cup.
Yeah, they gave you a silver cup, all right. Keep your teeth in.
You just keep quiet, you old fish-eyed fool. You ain't no judge of beauty. You should have seen his first wife, honey. That woman was ugly.
How ugly was she?
Honey, she was so ugly, if her picture was on a stamp, nobody would lick her.
The thing that I think about those roasts were done with love. You know, she was there roasting her buddy, her childhood friend.
But she also took shots at celebrities she didn't grow up with, like George Burns and Milton Berle.
I heard what you said, Milton Berle. Yeah, you, Mr. Television. If you could steal hubcaps like you do jokes, you'd be a star in my neighborhood.
I asked Alonzo Bowden if he thought LaWanda might have been intimidated in that company.
She came from clubs where you had to talk smack to the audience, where you had hecklers, where you had... Trust me, she was fine. She had no problem. She let them have it. They weren't ready for her.
She was battle-tested like nobody else.
Yeah, absolutely. You think she's going to be afraid of a Beverly Hills ballroom?
I mean, this is a woman who had literally eaten fire for a stretch of her career.
Exactly. And it wasn't just that. It was also, you know, riding the bus from city to city and you can't stay at this hotel and all of that. All, she lived through and worked through and dealt with all of that. And now she's in a ballroom in Beverly Hills. And she gets to make fun of Don Rickles and Milton Berle and, you know, Sinatra. I don't know. I don't know if anyone was brave enough other than Rickles. I don't know if anyone was brave enough to make fun of Sinatra. But outside of that.
In 1979, at age 59, LaWanda released her final album, Sane Advice. It was the cleanest of her party records and the most transparently autobiographical.
On that album cover, she's wearing a gown. She's in front of a fancy car. She's made it, but now she's got even more to say about that experience.
But honey, if Paige was alive today, he'd be sorry he ever cheated on me. Because here I am, honey, famous. Famous, honey. A star, honey. Honey, they got a wax figure of me on the East Coast and the West Coast in the Stars Hall of Fame. And I got my footprints on Hollywood Boulevard at Grumman's Chinese Theater. I was sitting on the bus bench and a Sparklers truck ran over my feet. Sure did hurt. But it left a print. Honey, I made it, baby. A star at last. A star at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm a star at last.
She had become a big star. She was one of the most popular people on television at that point. But she's still making a joke at her own expense there.
Yeah, yeah. Because you want people to know you haven't become too big for your britches.
And she wouldn't leave Watts. She, at one point, she had a bit where she said people thought it said I moved to Beverly Hills. She said I wasn't going to leave Watts. And she made all sorts of jokes about living in Watts, but she wasn't going to leave there.
No, I ain't leaving Watts, honey. I know it's the Los Angeles ghetto, and I know we got crime in Watts. Honey, it's so bad, if you ain't home by 9 o'clock, you can be declared legally dead.
Listen, you stick with what you know. And you make it work. And nobody did that better than she did. I wish I had known her. Do you know what I mean? I wish I had known her.
In the 1990s, LaWanda appeared on popular TV shows like Family Matters, In Living Color, and Martin.
I'm the fourth person that's been hit in the past 2 weeks.
Ah, damn.
Well, what did the police say?
Move.
She spoofed her church lady image in films like Friday, where she played a Jehovah's Witness. Meanwhile, lines from LaWanda's party records began being sampled by hip-hop legends like Tupac Shakur, N.W.A., and 2 Live Crew. In 1991, LaWanda Page's childhood friend Red Fox died. At his funeral, LaWanda said, "Red made me the star that I am. If it hadn't been for him, I'd probably be in the poorhouse. Red lived the life he loved and loved the life he lived. By this time, LaWanda had been ordained as an evangelist in the Holiness Church. She was following in the footsteps of her brother, a Baptist minister, and her daughter, also a preacher. On September 14, 2002, LaWanda Page died of complications from diabetes. She was 81. LaWanda Page was many things. The bronze goddess of fire, a queen of comedy, and let me repeat, you must go listen to some of those party records. She was a wife three times over, a mother, a devoted daughter, a person of deep faith, and as RuPaul knew, she was fabulous.
Linda,
word mom,
Naomi,
she is fit.
Christy,
waxy lady, out of sight.
But I want to end with another musical clip of LaWanda. It's Fred Sanford and Aunt Esther enjoying a rare moment of warmth, sort of.
Imagine us being here together again after all of these years. Seems like only yesterday.
Oh, I remember. Where was it?
Down by the old mill stream.
It wasn't a stream, it was a lagoon. Goon.
Two legends of comedy who had come so far, enjoying the spotlight together.
It was there, I knew.
You don't know nothing.
That I love you true.
I gotta throw up.
I was 16.
How was your shoe size?
Your village queen.
Queen Kong.
Down by the old mill street.
Thank you for listening to Season 4 of Mobituaries. We're a very small and dedicated team that puts this show together. I am grateful to work with such smart, creative, hardworking people. And we're grateful to you for sticking with us. It would be wonderful if you would spread the word about Mobituaries to your friends and family. And rating and reviewing our podcast really does help. You can also follow Mobituaries on Facebook and Instagram. And you can follow me on the social media platform, formerly known as Twitter, at Moraka. And check out Mobituaries' Great Lives Worth Reliving, the New York Times best-selling book, now available in paperback and audiobook. It includes plenty of stories not available on the podcast. This episode of Mobituaries was produced by Aaron Schrank. Our team of producers also includes Hazel Bryan and me, Mo Rocca, with engineering by Josh Hahn. Our theme music is written by Daniel Hart. Our archival producer is Jamie Benson. Mobituaries' production company is Neon Hum Media. Indispensable support from Reginald Bazile and everyone at CBS News Radio. Special thanks to Steve Razies, Rand Morrison, and Alberto Robina. Executive producers for Mobituaries include Megan Marcus, Jonathan Hirsch, and Mo Rocca. The series is created by yours truly. And again, thank you for listening.
Dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more information. Info now.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
See new things, try new things, go back centuries while living in the moment, forge new paths while discovering old ones, pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.